Welcome back into Melnick of the Afternoon on TSN 690. I'm John Still with Andy Bennett and Lucas Scott. Hoping things are better for Mitch Melnick tomorrow here on TSN 690. Habs coming off a 3-0 victory over the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll touch on that with Pierre in just a few moments. Pierre McGuire brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday by Lorne Rubin at Paramount Financial Services, where he takes good care of your money. And at this time of the year, it's vital that you get proper year-end tax planning to ensure lower taxes. A strong supporter of TSN 690 since the early days, call Lorne Rubin at Paramount Financial Services, 514-905-0885. Pierre, how are you?
Excellent. Winning is always fun, John. And my team just won third place at the Mario Lemieux Hockey Tournament or Fantasy Camp. And I'm so proud of our players, Grant Fuhr and I. Coached our team, and I'm just really proud of our players. We just got off the ice, just not to name drop, but Sidney Crosby was here. I coached against Dougie Gilmore and Brian Trotsche in that game. Max Talbot was an assistant to their team. Craig Patrick was our general manager. It was awesome. I'm so proud of our players. I'm actually talking to you from my coaching office right outside our dressing room. So it was an I'm not kidding you. It was awesome. I'm just so proud of the guys. You know what I said to Craig after we won? I said, it never gets old. Winning is so much fun. It really is. Doesn't matter what the event is, who you're coaching. It's always fun. And so I had a great day today and an awesome afternoon. Really proud of our team.
Well, I know why Max Talbot was an assistant coach is because Max had a bit of an injury here in Montreal that he spoke about while he was on RDS. A little bit of a, I believe it was a knee injury for Max Talbot. So I hope that he's feeling a little bit better. But
we actually walked to the rink together this morning, and he's doing a lot better. And so I'm really proud of him. By the way, you talk about Pittsburgh Penguin players of distinction. Max Talbot is one of them. And it's not just the way he played. It's the way he carries himself around town with the campers here. And they're all obviously older people with his peer group as a former player in the National Hockey League. I just can't say enough good things about Maxie. And we walked to the rink together today early this morning. And I'm a big fan. I always have been. First time I ever met Max was the 04 World Junior selection camp to go to Helsinki. There was a 16-year-old on that Team Canada. His name is Sidney Crosby. First and only 16-year-old to ever score for Canada at the World Junior.
A guy who earned absolutely everything that he had in the National Hockey League, one Mr. Max Talbot, and doing, I would say, quite a pretty good job when I see him over at the Réseau des Sports. How about for the Canadiens last night? Pierre, I guess not all wins are created equal, but it was not the greatest showing for the Canadiens outside of the first 10 minutes of hockey, but Caden Primo, a big reason why they were able to get 2 points last night.
You know, we were actually talking about that last night at dinner. We had a team dinner at a restaurant in Pittsburgh. We were talking about Montreal's goaltending situation and where they could go. And one of the trainers here knows Caden really well. And he says, I'm telling you guys right now, this guy's about to take off. And it was fortuitous that he had said that at that time because Caden looked obviously really strong and delivered a shutout performance, and which is never bad. And you get excited. You know, it's been a tough year. Going with the three goaltender rotations, not easy. Not playing and getting into rhythms really tough. And I thought Caden did obviously a fantastic job last night.
Before I invite you to sign the lens here, this whole three-goalie affair is now done. How do you foresee this performance for the rest of the season for you?
Just the beginning.
There you go. I mean, like, he's not short on confidence there, Pierre. There's no way that it's ever come across. I mean, it takes a lot of confidence to leave Northeastern the time that he did, when maybe a lot of people thought he should stay for another season there. He clearly believes in himself, and that's the main thing, is confidence. You know, it births more confidence and more confidence and more confidence. And to have that be the performance, the first game after the three-goalie system is officially donezo, that's just got to be absolutely massive for him the rest of the way here in Montreal.
I think so. You know, one of the things that I think really helps Caden is the fact that his father was such a player of distinction. You know, Keith, his dad, was a third overall pick in the 1990 draft. He had a really solid career. Concussion obviously helped shorten it a little bit, but you know, I coached a lot of games in the league when Keith was playing, and he was really, really a good player, especially before the concussion situation kicked in for him. But now I think when you grow up in a house like that, you learn a lot about, you know, what it takes to be a pro and how to prepare yourself. And, you know, that's never easy because not every kid has a chance to live in a pro hockey household. But if you do and you have some ability, it really helps. It really does help. And I think in the case of Caden Primo, it really helped having his father. Keith is a pro, and his uncle Wayne is a pro. Wayne Primo, Keith's brother, was obviously a really good player as well. He really was.
Pierre, we were talking about goaltending earlier in the show, and I was saying how I just love that glove save by Primo yesterday. It's one of my favorite things you could see a goalie do. Maybe it's the baseball fan in me, but I feel like we don't see that many like goaltending acrobatics anymore. Is that just a byproduct of these guys being so technically sound, so early in their careers, that we don't see many of the like Tim Thomas style of goaltending anymore?
You had a guy there in Montreal who was pretty good at it, Carey Price.
Yep.
He was pretty acrobatic too. No, I think there's something to what you're saying. You know, I had the chance at this fantasy camp to work with Grant Fuhr and coach with Grant. And obviously he was one of the more stellar acrobatic goalies in the history of the league, a hockey Hall of Famer. Just an amazing goalie. I mean, we talked to our team today about trying to win 7-6 or 8-7. And he looked at the goalie. He says, you're going to have to come up with one circus save. And he did. So Grant was very, very wise in that, foreshadowing the event. But no, I do think part of it is the technical way goalies are prepared today, Andy. I really do. Mm. And there's something to that. One of the things that I can say that I, again, being around all these great hockey people here the last 4 days in Pittsburgh, one of the things we were all talking about was it doesn't seem as if great goaltenders are being developed as often as maybe they were 15 or 20 years ago. And I think goaltending people need to look at that. They really do. They need to look at that. I think there's a shortage, and maybe I'm one of the few people outside of the people that I was just surrounded with here, but there's definitely been a shortage of super high-end goalies being developed, and that's something that I think the goaltending fraternity needs to look at.
Do you think it's because teams are so quick to move on from goalies?
I don't know the answer to that, John. I wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
The one I said to Grant, too. Grant's such an affable person. I said, hey, Grant, you know what? I'll take care of the D in the forge. You just take care of the goalie. He goes, we got it. We're good. It was good that way.
Do you shorten the bench in these camps or what? Are you telling guys
right,
you need to take
a
seat?
I'm not going to lie to you. You want to win. You know, yeah, you're darn right. Well, yeah.
I love that.
And the players love it, too. The competitive fire in most hockey people burns bright. And nobody wants to lose. Everybody wants to win. So, you know, at the end of the game today, I'll just use this as a for instance. It's Grant and I coaching against Talbot, Trottier, and Gilmore. You know, they got three guys, we got two guys. And the other three guys are pretty good, and Dougie Gilmore, Brian Trottier, and Max Talbot. So we're kind of wanting to compete with them too. So it's just a competitive fire that I think burns in all hockey people. Yeah.
It's Melnick in the afternoon here on TSN 690. I'm John Still with Lucas Scott and Andy Bennett in conversation with Pierre Maguire. All right, Pierre, things not going so rosy in Detroit at the moment.
Awful start. We had no legs. We had no pace. They were playing fast. I mean, we give them that easy offense early on, and then we just got rattled, got out of structure. It piled up on the first period. Didn't mind as the game went on. Unfortunately, second period were a little bit better, and they scored on probably three or four of the chances they had. But again, the start, got rattled with it, got out of structure, and it just piled on. So disappointing because we showed some signs in Vegas, and all we're going to concentrate on the next 2 days is our start at home on Thursday.
There's Derek Lalonde, six straight losses for the Red Wings. Just for the first time, they're kind of on the outside looking in here, Pierre.
Yeah, because they don't have a guy that's really important for them in Dylan Larkin.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows you the importance of star power and game-breaking ability. And while they've had a really good year in Detroit, Dylan's a critically important part of their team. He really is. And so you talk about lack, you know, and Derek's a really good coach, by the way, and he is detail-oriented. he's a different kind of coach than most of the guys I coached against or with. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's just he's different. He's more methodical, less about emotion, more about methods and analytics. But I would say this, is that you can see if you don't have one of the ultimate game breakers in the league, it doesn't just affect one player. It affects a bunch of other players because matchups change, especially at this time of the year, John. So I think that's been part of the problem for Detroit. I don't think they've won a game since Dillon's been out of the lineup.
And credit to Lalonde, where he was given the easy way out, kind of, you know, is it because you have no Dillon, or, you know, did you not get a save last night, and he just kind of threw that right out the window. So credit on him. But
yeah, no, that, yeah. And credit him 100%. I agree with that. But I will tell you, as somebody that doesn't have a fight in the game or any skin in the game with them, they need Dillon Larkin back. That's all I'm going to say. They need him back.
In Texas last night.
For us, I think this group, this might come at a good time as far as, like, this is a great reminder of what's ahead of us. You know, we're going to be in this situation again against good teams, playoffs, and you're up by two, you're down by one. I don't think there's a game can't change. You know, you got to go out, look to win periods, create momentum, keep moving the game forward. And, you know, we didn't do a good enough job. So we'll look at a few of them, a few clips, I'm sure. And, you know, take this as a lesson and this won't be a low point for us long. We'll be looking to write it and be better next time.
That's Joe Pavelski after the Stars surrendered 3 goals in about 5 minutes there in the third period. They lose the potential Stanley Cup preview against the Panthers by a score of 4-3 at home last night. Luca?
Pierre, it was obviously a game that the Dallas Stars wish they could have back and one that they should have won, but are the Stars getting to a point now where it's Stanley Cup or bust for their seasons?
Yes, 100%. I love the way you said that too, Luca. Totally agree. I think there's a lot of merit to what you just said. They obviously have really good players. They've got very good depth in goal. They've got, with the addition of Tanev, a very good depth in the back end. They can move Miro Heiskanen back to the left side where he's probably a better player than he is on the right side. They've got young firepower. They've got old firepower. They've got good special teams. You've got elite coaching. Peter DeBoer and Steven Spott in particular, that's elite coaching. So the answer is, yeah, I think Jimeno probably figures, and that's why they went out and got Tanev. They probably figure that they need to have a Stanley Cup kind of a run in Dallas.
Yeah, they're my choice for out west, but boy, there's just the big, bad Golden Knights who turned around something in the final minute last night against the Kraken. And finally, last one for you, Pierre. Let's talk some Sabres.
And he's coming through for him big. Here's Fisher from behind the Red Wings net trying to play it up the far wall. Berggren trapped there. Sabres win it back. Tage Thompson steps into a shot. Rebound scores! Byram with his second of the game!
Second goal for Bowen Byram for the Sabres as they took care of business last night as they were winners again. Sorry, they took the care of the Red Wings, by a score of 7-3. Rasmus Dahlin has been moved to the right because you got Dahlin, Power, and Byram all on the left-handed side being able to play there. Does that make sense to you? Is that something that you think could be sustainable? We're kind of going through a similar thing here in Montreal with Caden Gooley being forced to play the right side.
No, I think especially with the way Rasmus Dahlin skates. Excuse my voice. I had to raise my voice a few times today during the games we were coaching it. But no, I think that's not a problem with Rasmus at all because he's such an elite skater. He can pivot to his right. He can pivot to his left. Obviously, he's a little more comfortable on the left side. But I think it's just a starting point for him. Bowen Byram is an elite offensive defenseman. Here's the thing. It's not like Colorado was in a rush to trade him. Part of why he got traded is they're going to have major cap issues. And they know that eventually Bowen Byram is going to ask for Cale Makar, Devon Taves kind of money. They just can't afford that. So that's part with the lineup that they have. So that's part of why he was traded. But they think the world of him. They have a lot of respect for him, and they think he's a really good player. And I think Bowen will do some really good things in Buffalo. I really do. I think he'll do some outstanding things.
That's two goals in three games for Byram with his time down with the Sabres so far as, yeah, they're going to be hopefully playing spoiler down the stretch the rest of the way for the Sabres. Pierre, thank you so much for taking the time today. I hope that voice recovers, and we'll do it all again tomorrow right here on TSN 690 just after 5:35.
Yeah, and just for all those fans out there, Jimmy Murphy and I are really excited about being at Hurley's tomorrow night. Actually, tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 5. We'll be there for the eye test live and in color at Hurley's. You can't wait to be there. Excited to be back in Montreal. So I'll see you guys, and I'll talk to you guys. Actually, I'll talk to you guys at around 5:30 tomorrow night. So look forward to that before the Bruins and the Canadiens hook up in an original six battle.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Thanks a lot, Pierre. Have a good one.
See you, Johnny. Take care. Thanks. Change like three times. Still come reeling through the door.
When did I get to you? And teach you how to get to 29 years ago today, Radiohead's second album, The Bends. Hitting the charts. You big Radio fan?
Honestly, it took me until In Rainbows to like Radiohead.
Really?
It just didn't hit me. I found it a little whiny for my taste.
I think this was like the again, it took me a while again to get into Radiohead just because it just wasn't my time. I don't know how you can't hear High and Dry and Fake Plastic Trees and just be like,
I've come around. Like, I'm a fan now, yeah. But it really was In Rainbows where I was like, wow, they're actually pretty good.
Not a fan of Tom's whininess?
No, I have a hard time with that. I don't like listening to men whine.
It's your job. Literally right here at TSN 690, whether it's me or Mitch. Thank you, Andy. We'll find out tomorrow.
Hi, Johnny.
We'll find out tomorrow if Mitch is back. I have absolutely no idea. Luca Scott, thank you. Always a pleasure, Luca.
Thank you, sir.
And Steven Spielberg is a top five director of all time. you know what? We'll touch on that some other time. Coming up next, actually, I'm sticking around for another hour inside CF Montreal right here on TSN 690. We'll talk about the four CF Montreal players called up to the Canadian men's national team. I'll also be joined by the Canadian Press's Elias Grigoriadis, and then just a little bit later, we'll be speaking with former CF Montreal midfielder, now RDS and Apple TV analyst, Patrice Bernier. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good night.